Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who together sends the Holy Spirit to fill us, to sanctify us, to make us holy, all in his truth. Amen. Today, we celebrate the day of Pentecost, and more profoundly, our church transitions into the second half of the church year. I was reminded of it the other week, actually. You see, because since Advent, since the time of Christmas at the end of November, we've been focused on our Sundays around the life of Jesus, of course, going through his ministry, his early life, you know, ministry, and then all the way leading to his death and his resurrection, and then finally up to his ascension. The day of Pentecost moves the church from Jesus Christ's life on earth to the Spirit's work and pointing us back to Jesus, and pointing the church back to Christ. And the day of Pentecost is that promise of Jesus to send the Holy Spirit, the one who would fill the church and to enliven it. The day of Pentecost is the Spirit's work in the church. And it's really profound, because now in these days, since from these days on, we remember the Pentecost and we go on, and you can think of it, if you remember these things, that it seems to drag on forever. We get to the 15th, the 17th day after the Sunday after Pentecost. And it's because it's this time of the church to be in the world, to be in the Spirit. It's about the church's business of living in the world, to declare God's reality over the world and what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. And we do that only by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that lives in us. But our tradition, our Lutheran tradition even, has been too silent, I think, or at least slow to respond to the importance of the Holy Spirit, especially as he is the one who gives the church life. And often this third person of the Trinity, this third person who is God, is mentioned in a footnote, laid aside and only useful when we're talking about God and three persons, talking about the Trinity. I mean, we know that the Holy Spirit would rather have it where he points us back to Christ. And that's what our Christian tradition and our Christian teachings have always instructed us, that the Spirit is the one who glorifies Christ. Even Jesus himself in John declares that he glorifies me. However, the process maybe is expedited too much, and we forget the importance of the Holy Spirit's role in our lives and how the Holy Spirit is the person who is presently active in our lives today. And it's he who gives us the knowledge and strength to hold on to the promises of Christ. He's the one who's active in the church. So what do we say about the Holy Spirit? We heard it in our readings today. The scriptures are obviously our first look to the names and given to the Holy Spirit. As Jesus tells us, he's a gift that he breathes on the disciples, and they receive him in John. And on this day, the Pentecost in Acts, we see the Spirit rush in like a wind, and the apostles are filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is giving them little lights that are lit on their head, and they start speaking in different languages to the languages of the places they will go. We describe the Spirit as a helper. Jesus speaks that he will send a helper to keep his people firm in the faith. And we also hear that the Spirit is a guide, that the Spirit is the one that leads Christian people along the right path and along the right way. I suppose all these descriptions that Jesus gives are good to describe this Holy Spirit. They are from him. But I can't help but wonder what those descriptors, those ways of identifying him, mean for us today. And the reason I say that is because for us, who call the Holy Spirit a gift, a helper, a guide. Sometimes it gives off the impression that the Holy Spirit is simply at my disposal. That's to say that the Holy Spirit is helpful when we think we need him. And just think about it. When someone gives you a gift, sometimes the gift is useful or it's not. Sometimes it's that kind of gift you get from a family or a friend who went to travel, and in fact, it's more junk added to the pile. And sometimes that gift gets put in the top shelf in your closet until one day you figure out, oh, this might be of some use, and then you're able to pull it out. Or sometimes if we think of helpers, we are well aware of what helpers are. You turn to your therapist, a doctor, a mechanic, the employee at the grocery store when you need help finding something, getting something worked on, getting something fixed. We're pretty well aware of what helpers do. But if you don't need help, why bother getting help? Or when we think of the Holy Spirit as a guide is something you need for directions to find your way on a trail or through the city, or a guide is someone who takes you and directs you through the terrain and knows the area. But once you know your way, once the guide has done its work, then why bother with a guide? These identifiers we give to the Holy Spirit are scriptural. Jesus calls them these things. But I think within our own understanding of what those terms mean, they might become a little unhelpful. Because the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit is not at your disposal. And we attribute the wrong notions when we think that the Holy Spirit is there to be a gift, a helper, and guide at our disposal when we want to use him or need him. Because if the Spirit of God is simply when I want him, at my disposal, then I'm the one who dictates when he's useful. And I'm the one who acts on him. When in fact, the opposite is true. The Spirit acts on us. And the Spirit of God is the one who actually uses us. So maybe there's another way we can talk about the Spirit as a gift, as a helper, as a guide, that would get after the Spirit's activity in our lives and in his church. A teacher of mine put it this way for us. He said, imagine that the Spirit of God is a possessor. Imagine with me then that you are people who are possessed. You are possessed. And maybe you're wiggling in your seat a bit. I don't know. I understand. That word possession is not used very positively. Because when you hear that word possession, you probably think of those horror movies, those scary movies with the demon-possessed person like The Exorcist. Or you might think of those biblical stories where Jesus encounters the man at the tomb who's possessed by a legion of demons. And you know how this story goes. This man's living among dead people, among the tombs, among the graveyard. And then Jesus comes across, and this guy who's possessed by these demons starts cursing him out. He's unable to be held down by any chains and is out of control. Jesus calls on the name of God and banishes those demons into a herd of pigs who throw themselves off the cliff. Possession is not a word we like. We don't like it because the word and possession implies that me, myself, I no longer have control of what I do. I'm beholden to someone else, and I'm under their control to do whatever they wish. I'm bent to the will of the one who possesses me. Possession gives off that notion of ownership and even slavery to someone else. Possession is to be bound to the will of someone, and you have no control of what they make you do. Possession is not an ideal place to be. Especially for us who live in such a great nation where we pride ourselves on independence and freedom. We're the type of people who pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, who fight against the oppressors and those who wish to possess us. So to be controlled by someone else, to be beholden to another's desires and forced to do their bidding, well, that's just being helpless. That's in bondage to someone. It's enslavement. But imagine, if you are possessed by the Spirit of the living God, the God who is good and right. Well, it doesn't take a lot to imagine, because that's what happened on Pentecost. If you remember from our reading in Acts 2, the Spirit rushed in and filled the room, filling the disciples with the Holy Spirit, and the apostles were speaking in tongues of different languages with a light lit on their head, and they were able to preach and proclaim the good news of God's promises in Jesus Christ. People thought they looked like people with fresh wine, that they were drunkards. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit later, will preach to the people, and 3,000 souls would be saved that day. The Spirit used him. The Spirit possessed him. The Spirit used the apostles and preachers that came after them. The Spirit used the fathers of the church, Christians that followed through history. And the Spirit uses you today. The Spirit fills you up. If you go back and remember what Luther says about the Holy Spirit in his small catechism, he writes that helpful explanation. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. I can't believe. We really believe that we can't believe. That's what we say. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified me and kept me in the true faith. Kept me in the true faith. The Spirit is not indispensable or at your disposal. But the Spirit uses you. The Spirit is in you. And the Holy Spirit possesses you. And then you start to look a little different. Just as any possessed person, filled with new wine, perhaps, you do someone else's will. And people will notice it. Because you won't be acting like everyone else. You'll be honest and genuine with those around you. You won't be speaking those blunt truths, but you will actually be patient with difficult people and showing love and care. You'll speak kindly concerning your brothers or sisters. And I'm not talking about just the family, but your family of the church. When everyone outside of our community who has nothing good to say about that one annoying person, you will defend that person in the kindest ways, even if you disagree with them or find them a little annoying. You also, possessed by the Holy Spirit, will sacrifice for your kids in a way that the world does not understand. That's not just to say, give them money when they ask for it, or leave work to help them move, or even drop everything when a crisis occurs. Those things are easy to do. I'm talking about setting aside your personal time, setting aside what you like to do, so that you can schedule time with your own families and with your family of the church, to grow together and to be in one another's company. To talk on the phone with them, even if there's nothing to talk about. It's about that relationship that we have in the Spirit. As one possessed by the Spirit, you will sacrifice your time doing what you like to continue to develop your relationships with the people that matter in your life. With the people here. And that's how we share in one another's burdens. And all that time that you spend going to dinners, helping with that project, and even the time you spend here worshiping. People just might be wondering why you do the things you do. Well, the reason? Well, you may not want to tell them that you're possessed, but it is because the Holy Spirit's in you and you are in Jesus Christ. Even still, there remains another spirit, an old spirit who hasn't completely gone away. And this spirit, he seeks to break you down, to drag you down to hell. And this spirit fights every day to tempt you into carelessness, into wicked living, to make it all about me. And he'll do what he can to take you and possess you. That spirit needs to be put to death. That spirit needs to die every day. That's why you're here. That's why you pray. That's why you seek out a brother or sister in the faith. And that's why you turn back to God, because it is in Jesus Christ that that old spirit dies and you're raised to new life, and the Holy Spirit claims you, takes a hold of you to do God's will and not your own. I'm sure you're like me and you might be watching, hearing the news, and taking a look at what's going on a lot lately. Maybe you say this like I do. What's gotten into people? It seems that every angle is up for grabs. The injustice, or there's murder, there's, I guess, racism, greed, and thievery, and malice and destruction. And there's a chance that we can make a huge change, a positive change. Or there's sometimes change that seems a little too negative. There's a lot of times to let out our anger, or there's just ways people are trying to get a grasp on reality. And I sometimes wonder what's gotten into people. And we could chalk all these things up to sin and the broken world, but that would make it too easy for us not to care. But it does mean we too are sinful and broken, and that old spirit needs to die in us. I can't really be sure what that old spirit looks like in each and all of you, and I don't know what's gotten into people. But I can assure you who's gotten into you. On this day of Pentecost, not only do we remember God the Father and His Son sending the Holy Spirit to fill His apostles to preach and teach God's truth to the world, but that the Spirit's work continues today to fill you up and to reveal to you God's reality, the truth of His gospel, and to keep you firm in that faith. The Spirit's work continues so that you may go and speak God's truth, God's promises to the people that need to receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit, to be helped, to be guided, and even to be used. God will take care of that old spirit, because you've received the Spirit of the living God. It is a great gift that God would send and use people like us to express and reveal His reality to the people who desperately need the Spirit's work. The Spirit's in you. And in your day-to-day, that's where the Spirit's living, loving, and caring for our neighbor. Continue to do what the Lord has given you to do, and let the Holy Spirit use you to accomplish God's purposes. He is the gift from a loving and gracious God, and it's in His name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.